Okay, we continue in Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud Beis. We finished Pasuk Yud Beis. Shmuel is giving his address to the Jewish people after Shaul HaMelech defeated Nachash. And he is giving them tochacha. He's giving them rebuke in terms of that they still should not have really asked for a king. And they're asking for a king was because they were not happy with Shmuel the Navi. They were not happy with Hashem. And rebuke them, and he's kind of setting them up for the future, saying, listen, the future is in your hands. If you're going to have a king the way Hashem wants you to have a king, or you're going to have a king the way Hashem does not want you to have a king, will determine a lot what's going on. And he was describing to them how the relationship between them and Hashem is going to get worse if they use the king in the wrong way. And then in Pasuk Yud Aleph, he explained how Hashem had sent various leaders throughout their history to take care of them. So there's a very important chazal on this that we have to go through. That is a very important message. And in his whole speech, he begins by saying how you were in Egypt and how Hashem brought Moshe and Aaron to save you. Then in Pasuk Yud Aleph, he mentions how Hashem sent Yerubbaal, which was Gidon, and Bidon, who is Shimshon, and Yiftach, and Shmuel. So in total, there's six leaders that are mentioned over here. So there's a Rashi here, and that's based on a Chazal, and it seems to be some different interpretations exactly how to understand where one of these people, where he deals with. So let's start with the Rashi. Let's start the Rashi in here. So Rashi says, on Pasuk Yud Aleph, he says, Ves Yiftach, he says, Hare Shlosha Kale Olam, three of the lightest of the world, Im Shlosha Chamuri Olam, with three of the heaviest of the world. Meaning, in this list of six people, he's listed the three lowest leaders that the Jewish had, spiritually, and the three greatest leaders that the Jewish had. Moshe V'Aaron and Shmuel, Moshe and Aaron and Shmuel, which are the greatest leaders, and in the same speech, he's listing you the three lowest. And the three lowest were the ones that were mentioned right before. And that was Gidon, Yiftach, and Shimshon. It's interesting that Rashi learns that Shimshon is one of the weaker ones. Another one of the Mephorshim, I believe it's the Ralbag, seems to disagree on one of them. Where is this? And he says that Shimshon is not considered one of the worst ones, because if Hashem did miracles for him, he cannot be considered to be such a lightweight. But be that as it may, that opinion is not shared by Chazal. Chazal say that he is considered from the lower ones. Now, what is he called? He's called Bidon. It's the only one that is called by his tribe. The other one are called by their name, and this one is called by his tribe. So why is he called by his tribe? So the Mephorshim explained that essentially Don would have been a great guy. But the problem being that since he was from Shevet Don, and Don was the spiritually lowest of all the tribes, as we know what happened in Don, fresher memories. For many, many years, a bad thing went on in Dun for a long time. The Pesel Micha was in Dun for many, many years. Dun is considered the lowest of the tribes spiritually. That's why we said that Shimshon, he came from Dun, but still there was connection to Yehuda, and we said the whole idea of Mashiach coming, you have to connect Yehuda and Dun, the highest to the lowest, and that's when you have totality within the Jewish people. So Shimshon is referred to from Dun, because really he would have been a much better, you know, he had a lot of talent, but the hashpah, the influence of being in Shevet Dun, pulled him down. Be that as it may, what's Rashi bringing us this all out for? So we've mentioned three of the greatest with three of the lowest. He mentioned a famous chazal, Lomalach to teach you, Hakal Bedoro Kechamur Bedoro. you have to treat the lowest leaders in your generation like the greatest leaders of your generation. Kol Bezdin, Hamismaneh, Al Hador, any Bezdin that was appointed for a generation, Tzorech Leilech Achrof, you have to follow and listen to what they say, Kiluhu Abir Shabarim, as if they are the greatest of the greatest. And this always is the answer to the question, you know, people say, why don't you listen to the leaders? And they say, if we would have had leaders like Moshe Rabbeinu, Taka, we would listen to him. Huh, as if the people listened to Moshe Rabbeinu. The leaders like Moshe and Aaron and Shmuel. You see how Shmuel is saying time and again how you've rejected me. But be that as it may, that's what the Gemara is saying over here. So, and it's based on, it's a medrash as well, in Koheles, it says, Le'olam yehe beinecha dor shebo kidor shehalach. Should always be in your eyes the generation that's coming like the generation that left. Shalom Tomer, you shouldn't say, Ilu hayu Rabbi Akiva kayim hayisi kairi lefonav. Ah, if Rabbi Akiva was around, then I would go to learn by him. Ilu hayu Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Yochanan kayim hayisi shanel fneim. From Zeir and Rabbi Yochanan there, I would learn before them. Because usually the next generation is always weaker than the past, previous generation. So the Medrash concludes and says, no, but the judge that comes to you in your days, and the Chacham that is in your days, Eladayin Shabbat B'yamecha V'chachan Shabbat Mecha Kiddur is like the generation that was before you. You have to treat them the same way. So it's very interesting. So what does this Chazal mean? So the Musar HaMevi'im explains the following. He says, now obviously, why do people say this? Because in general people like to blow off responsibility. It's an old rule with life in general. People always look for excuses. So the best excuse is, listen, the leaders aren't so good as the previous leaders, and therefore that's why I'm not the way I am. And that's it. I don't have to take any more responsibility the rest of my life. So the truth is, so that, you know, although this is not an excuse, but there's got to be some truth to an excuse. And how are Chazal addressing this, you know, as I say, the court of Shalemes, the little bit of truth that people hide behind? Yeah, so the truth is, if we look back, if you look in this generation now of leaders, are you going to say is there a Chafetz Chaim? No, there's nobody like the Chafetz Chaim. You're going to say like Rabbi Chaim Moser Grzinski, all the great European leaders that we had, Moshe Feinstein, not even from that long ago, from the past generation, Yaakov Kamenetsky. We don't have anybody like that now. That's clearly the case. So people say, well, see, if the Chafetz Chaim was here now, Chafetz Chaim came to Thornhill and gave a drasha about Shmiras HaLashon, then we wouldn't talk Lashon Hara. So the only truth to what these people are saying is that you're right, the Chafetz Chaim is greater than the people of this generation. But the conclusions that we draw from that are totally inaccurate. And that's what Chazal are saying. How can you say, if we have a greater leader, it's Kal V'chomer. If you think we're supposed to listen to this rabbi, certainly we would listen to the Chafetz Chaim. So to this, the Musar HaNevi'im addresses this point. He says, the reason why you have to respect every leader, the reason is, Mipnei Shaparnes Ulefi Ador. Hashem gives the generation the leader that is suited for that generation. V'imhoya Parnes Godel Yosem in Ador. If the Parnes, the leader, is too great for that generation, Azohaya Yordim Klalos Avdoita, nobody would understand where he's coming from. If the Chafetz Chaim walked in and gave a drush, you'd all say he's out of touch with reality, and therefore I can't listen to someone who's out of touch with reality. If Moshe Rabbeinu came into this room, you'd really think he's nuts and off the wall. Because the Dveikus and the Kinect, look at it simple. Look how much within the Frum world that anybody who really acts from and really talks about Dveikus of Hashem, people think he's nuts. They say, this guy's not normal. A normal person doesn't talk that way. Normal person doesn't talk about Hashem all the time. He's sick. But he does. Normal person talks about how good he is and how successful he is. And we always throw in a thank God just to be Yotze. But a person who really is Dovek to Hashem, you know, either because we get scared from these kinds of people, or whatever the defense mechanisms involved. You know, anybody who, you know, the biggest proof is, you know, the fact that, you know, people, again, we go back to these old issues that keep coming back, and you know, I keep harping on them because these are important issues. You know, people who want to be, you know, we call them extremists. You know, the fact that a person wants to keep Shabbos a little longer, they're called an extremist. The fact the person doesn't speak any Lashon Hara is extremist. Those in our community who are known for not speaking Lashon Hara, they don't have as many friends. People don't talk to them because there's nothing interesting to talk to them about because there's no Lashon Hara to speak with them. If you'd be in front of the Chavetz Chaim, you wouldn't be able to talk to him. Because if you can't talk Lashon Hara, what's there to talk about? That's just the way it is. You know, you can't be with these people. They daven too long. Right? They're just extremes. A guy like that, he's out of touch with reality. And the truth is, for this generation, they wouldn't appreciate the gift that Hashem would give them. And if anything, they would mock the gift. They would scorn the gift. And therefore, what's the point in it? So you have to have a leader that is somewhat in touch. He still has to be greater than you, but he has to be in touch. You have to see him as being in your world. And if you don't see him in your world, and they say, if Rabbi Akiva's in our generation, I would learn. No, you would not learn from him. See, he's too radical. How could I learn from a guy who really feels that close to Hashem? I don't feel I can relate to such a fellow. And that's why Hashem cannot give you those kinds of leaders. He said they wouldn't be able to. If the leader is too great for his generation, they could never understand where he's coming from. Therefore, there's no place for a person to say, if Rabbi Akiva was alive, I would learn before him. Because had Rabbi Akiva been his generation, he'd be too great, according to the measure of that generation. If we couldn't learn from him at all. His level of scholarship, he couldn't dumb it down enough for us to be able to understand what he's talking about. He's like, you know, he'd start quoting things, he started quoting Gemara that every, you know, when before World War II, you know, many, many Jews, simple Jews, a tailor, a shoemaker, they knew Shas. So can you imagine, a rabbi gets up and speaks to them? He's not going to, you know, spend 20 minutes explaining the story of Yosef and the brothers. He'll say, now, dealing with Yosef brothers, and he'll just say, you know, seven references. And as we all know, Gemara over here, page this, Medrash over here, page that, say this, and based on all what they're saying, and meanwhile, if he'd be in this generation, we'd be lost. We don't even know what he's referencing. But why would he waste his time? Detail this thing so everybody should know. So we'd be totally lost in what he's talking about. Therefore, Hashem, you know, with great kindness, if the generation drops down, the leader has to drop down. And that's what it says afterwards. Okay, then we don't need to know the rest of that. It's interesting. It brings that the Medrash continues. It says, as a pasuk in Divrei Yamim, it says that Yehoyada was the Nagid for Aaron. It was like a leader when Aaron was around. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? Yehoyada was a Nagid for Aaron? He wasn't even in the same generation. But it says, Yehoyada was way later, many generations later. But the Gemara's Medrash means to say, if Aaron was around in the generation of Yehoyada, people would look as Yehoyada as greater, being greater than Aaron. So in other words, if the Chavetz Chaim was in this generation, and Moshe Rabbeinu would be in this generation, we would say that, you know, Rabbi so-and-so of that congregation is greater than him. That's how we would view it. We view him as greater. Greater what? He knows how to talk to us. You know, when he talks, I understand. I walk away inspired from him. But him, you know, Moshe is not an inspiring speaker. What can I do? I can't get anything from him. Right? That's what he's saying. Why? Because he is more matim yoser lahem lefi madregas haktana. He's more suitable based on their puny small level that they're on. So therefore, Hashem indeed gives you, when you say, if we would have greater leaders, Hashem says, no, you would be worse. And you have a leader that's small because you're even smaller. And that's how you have to look at it. But what the leader is telling you is the same emes. And that's the problem. If you shoot the leader, you don't have to listen to what he says. That's always the way it works. If you shoot the leader, you don't have to listen to the word he says. Because what he says is painful. Whatever, no matter how sweet, he sugarcoats it. He still says you have to come to davening. He still says you have learning Torah is the most important thing in your life. All these things that we don't want to hear. he still gives you Musar. You don't want to hear it. So what do you say? Don't give me Musar. I want the Chavetz Chaim. Even if he's quoting the Chavetz Chaim, he still won't listen to what he said. So that's what he said. That's why Shmuel Hanavi is mentioning that this, you know, he's hinting to this fact that I know when you're going to have a leader, these are the things you're going to be doing to be critical of all leaders. And therefore he's saying, and in spite of who the leader was in your generation, Hashem was the one to take care of you. If you had greater leaders, he took care of you in a more bekavedik way, in a more honorable way. If you had less leaders, it wasn't as an honorable way, but Hashem still took care of you. That's a really important concept over here. Okay, continuing now further. Yud Gimel. So now, based on the way the Malbim is going to be explaining this, Shmuel is saying, okay, what's past is past. I've given you enough Musar. Now let's look to the future. V'atah now. Hine ha-melech asher b'chartem asher she'eltem. This king, which you chose to have a king, and asher she'eltem, which you asked for. And the biggest proof is, you know, as soon as they picked Shaul HaMelech, there were some people who didn't want him originally. Why did they not want him? Because he really was very frum. He was very frum. He was so humble, so modest, had so much sneas, they couldn't appreciate the mitos that he had. And of course, the real reason they didn't want him is because for the totally the wrong reason, he came from Shevet Binyamin that caused all so many problems years before with the Pilegesh Begiva, which is not a reason to reject someone. But he says, anyway, now this king that you chose, which you asked, v'inei nasan Hashem aleich ha-melech, and Hashem has given you a king. So, Malbim explains over here, he says, now with the king you have two possibilities. On the one hand, the first clause he says is Hamelech Asher Bechartem, the king that you chose. What's he emphasizing? Asher Bechartem, which you chose, when you chose the king and not Hashem. Because this was not with Hashem's consent, in other words, not with Hashem's initiative, not Hashem telling us, guys, I think it's time to have a king, but that's what you asked. Asher She'altem, which you asked. Right. And more than that, even though you didn't choose Shaul, but the truth of the matter is he is a tremendous person for you to have. And since and in other words, you didn't pick Shaul, but since you chose to have a king, it's like you picked Shaul. Because otherwise I wouldn't, because you have to leave it up to Hashem to pick the best candidate. But you chose to have a king. So on the one hand, it's the king that you chose, which is not such a good direction for things to go. But in the second half of the pasuk, it says, "Vihine," and behold, "Nasan Hashem aleich ha-melech." Hashem has given for you a king. So now that you chose to have an individual, have a king, and Hashem has now picked the king, and if you will associate this king on the one hand to Hashem, then that'll be fine. If you're going to associate him to your requests of why you initially wanted a king, it's not going to be fine. That's what he's kind of telling them. If you're going to want a king the way you wanted it a number of months ago, it's going to be Yochan Vey for the Jewish people. If you want a king the way Hashem wants you to have a king, then that's a different story. Then there's hope. And that's what he continues in the next few psukim. V'im tiru es Hashem, if you fear Hashem, vavatem also, and you serve Him, ushmatem bekolo, and listen to His voice, v'lo samras pi Hashem, you don't go against the words of Hashem. So then what will happen? Then v'yisem gam atem v'gam ha-melech asher malach aleichem. Then you will be, and also the king who rules over you will be what? Achar Hashem Elokeichem. Will be following after Hashem. What is he hinting with that? He's saying, then Hashem really, if you do this, then really who's the king? Then really Hashem is the king who goes before you to fight your battles and to save you. And then the king will be following Hashem, right, doing his job, and he'll be the middleman between you and Hashem. That's the key word to this pasuk is, because if you look at it simply, it doesn't seem to come to a conclusion. It's a, you know, if you read it, you could read it very easily and correctly. If you listen to Hashem, you don't go against him, and then you and the king who will rule with you will be after Hashem. Then you're saying, so then what? You know, so that's the him when he's saying Asher Malach Achar Hashem Elokeichem. The Malbim stresses you will be what will happen. You will be after Hashem. That's the key point. You don't need to hear about success, and that the greatest success is if you're following Hashem. If you fear Hashem, then you will go after Hashem. If you go after Hashem, then everything is going to be fine. Tesvav v'imlo tishmu b'kol Hashem. If you don't listen to the voice of Hashem, umarisim espi Hashem, and you rebel against the voice of Hashem. V'hoysa yad Hashem b'chem uvavoyseichem. Then the hand of Hashem will be against you and will be against your fathers. So that's the choice that you have right now. So the question is, we understand that Hashem's hand will be against you, but what's the idea that Hashem's hand is going to be against your fathers? You're talking about the previous generation. What do you mean it's going to be against your fathers? So Malbim says, on the simple term is, he's saying Hashem's hand will be against you, just like it was against your fathers in previous generations. Which is one way of understanding the pasuk. Metzudas, on the other hand, explains it. Avoseichem refers to Hashem will be against you and your kings, because every leader of a generation and a king is called a father, just like a father, as it says. Paro says, it says by Yosef and Paro, V'chein v'yisimeinu l'av v'paro, Hashem made me for an av to Paro. It's called Av Reich. So as a big leader, called an av, like a father. So it means I'll punish the leaders. Rashi and Radak bring something most interesting, bringing from Chazal. Really, it's the Targum. It says, what's going to happen against your fathers is chitute tishchivi. In other words, what's going to happen is they're going to, if you're not good, the enemies will dig up the graves of your parents who have sinned. You know, they're going to dig them up and abuse their bodies and do all kinds of terrible things to their bodies. As unfortunately we see, our Arabs have taught us that this is a very true thing. You know, and that's what they're going to do. And it's referenced to a Gemara in Yevamos, and he brings this pasuk to this point that they're going to take their bodies out and they're going to denigrate their bodies. He's going to ask, well, why? Well, the answer is simple. If parents leave children who rebel against Hashem, they couldn't have been that good themselves. Therefore, you know, Hashem's not through with them. And that's really true. What you see on the physical level happens certainly on the spiritual level. Parents leave, you know, if the parents, and then we're talking about, obviously the parents were sinners too. But you find if parents leave children who are not good children, and the parents are to a certain degree responsible. Now, we're not talking about we're not responsible. For example, Yitzchak having an Esav, Chazal do not really hold him as responsible for having an Esav. There's others who are held more responsible. Yaakov Avinu, for example, he prayed to Hashem when he gave the brachas to Shimon and Levi. He says, with their secrets, I don't want to be involved in. And he's praying to Hashem that when Hashem lists the lineage of Korach, who comes from Levi, he says, when you list his lineage, Korach ben Kohath ben so-and-so ben so-and-so ben Levi, it didn't go one more step to say ben Yaakov. He said, I don't want you to count me as his ancestor. Don't count me as his ancestor. So Reb Chaim Shmuel Levi says, what do you mean don't count him as his ancestor? He was his ancestor. So cover up or something? By omitting one more generation? And really, what does it help? You think nobody knows he's the great-great-great-grandfather, son of Yaakov? If you're going all the way to Levi, don't we know who Levi's father is? So what did Yaakov mean to say? So Yaakov meant to say, this is a bad apple. I could see prophetically a bad apple. I want you to know that bad apple had nothing to do with me. Had nothing to do with me. I taught my children to be good boys. If they became bad, it's later generations has to do with it. There's not even a touch of what I did that would lend itself that something bad should happen from the way I raised Shimon and Levi. Should not have been a descendant from Levi like Korach. Should not have happened. Now, obviously, if he's saying it, he's not being egotistical. He's saying what the emes is. So this has great implications. Has great implications. Comes a yortzeit, comes a Yom Kippur, comes times like this. You know, that's why Yom Kippur is not really called Yom Kippur, right? Yom Kippur is called Yom Kippurim in the plural, not in the singular. Why? Because it's a day of atonements for the living and for the dead. There's no concept in Judaism, may he rest in peace. That is false. That's a goyish idea. Nobody rests in peace. You don't rest in peace. You're either going to, even in the next world, either you're going up or you're going down. But the scary part is you have no control over it. It's what you left behind you. That's what's going to make it happen. If you were a negligent parent, if you were a negligent parent, and due to your negligence, or really you were just not a nice parent, and because of that, you've left children that are not good, then all the averis they do, you know, every year Hashem comes to you and shares some of that bitterness with you, and you have to deal with it. So on the other hand, you leave good children, good stuff comes. So it's, as I say, the greatest investment one can make is in one's children and grandchildren, because that's where the ultimate returns are going to come that never stop. So, those of you who paid all your school tuitions and felt that, you didn't make much of a great life because of the millions you spent in school tuitions, it was the best investment you could ever make. Because hopefully they come out good from that. Certainly a lot better if they'd be going somewhere else. And you're going to get returns forever. But the negatives, so that's why, so people say, I don't know if I can believe all this. So the answer is, what are you talking about? You're going to see that if they're not good, you're going to take, on the simplest level, you're going to take your bodies, your parents' bodies, and take them out of the grave and abuse those bodies. So you're going to say, that itself is a great embarrassment, but it's obviously hinting to much greater things. Now, so this Gemara in Yevamah says they're going to dig up the bodies. So, because the reason for that is because how else can you punish the adults? So, that's one level. But certainly you understand it can happen on much deeper levels. One second, let me just finish this. So what is really the punishment over here? So the Musa Nevi'im expands. He's got such good stuff. Mamish till the end of the parak, every pasuk, he's got something great. He says, so it's possible to say another kavana, and what did it mean that Hashem will be against your fathers? He says, it's like this. He says, truthfully, our fathers suffered greatly in their lives. To survive as Jews, it's never been an easy thing, right? But at least one comfort they always had, because they were part of building up the Jewish people. Right? Ki hema bone es ha'uma ha'gdoyle she'osid godol nochainlo. That at least there's going to be a future from what they do. So as long as their children are on the right level, it's a great comfort to their souls. When they look down at Shema and say, it's such a tough life. Mamash, we struggled, we this, that. But we did it all so our children should continue and maintain Yiddishkeit for Klal Yisrael. So at least they look down on Shemayim. It comes a yortzeit. The son says Kaddish. The son davens. The son gives tzedakah. He goes to a shir. And he goes out of his way to be a kind person. He says, look, it was worth it. It was worth it. All the suffering. All the anguish. All the vacations to Florida we didn't have because we couldn't afford it because we sent them to school. This is gornish what parents had to do in the past to have malamed geld, to be able to pay the malamed for their kid. Mamish, that came at the expense of better food to even eat. There's so many stories where people, there's a story, one rabbi at his father's yahrzeit, he was crying and they said, what are you crying? He said, I was remembering when I was a kid that the teacher sent me, that private teachers, right? The private teacher sent me home and says, your parents can't pay. I can't teach anymore. I can't. I have to make a living too. So the parents didn't know what to do. So the father was a guy who made, furnaces. So and you had to have certain material for the furnace, and we were so poor he couldn't have anymore. So the father had only one ace. He says, the only thing we could do to make sure our kid will learn is we're going to have to take apart our furnace brick by brick, and supply a furnace to one of the local wealthy people. And the guy gave him six rubles, whatever, for that, and that was the money to pay for the kid to learn that winter. So the rabbi I remember how we froze that winter. We all froze that winter just so my parents made sure that I had a teacher to teach me Torah. Now that's sacrifices. Our sacrifices were giving up vacations and cruises, right? Their sacrifices, their mamish, they had no warmth for a whole winter. It's like winter in Russia, Poland, the place, right? So that's sacrifice. So it's worth it. It's worth it when your kid gets up and he maintains. Then it's all worth it. But when we're on the downside, and Hashem has to deal with us with great justice, God forbid. So that's the greatest punishment for the souls of our fathers, because they see that everything they did was for nothing. That's what they say. Right? And he quotes the Zohar, and basically says the greatest comfort that the elders have is when they see that their children grow up to be the right people. Because then they see it wasn't for naught that they suffered in their lives. Because what parent won't suffer for a child to bring a tzaddik into the world? So if Hashem says, then you have children that are good, we'll both be there to be makabel the great things from our children that are going to bring to us. So that's what it means that Hashem is saying that my hand will be against you and your parents. It's not going to be good. It's on the simple level, they'll dig up the graves, and on a deeper level, it's not going to be good at all. Yeah. Thank you for your patience.
So you mentioned about Esav and Yitzhak, but I think kind of just glossed over it. Isn't there some accountability?
It's a side point. I don't want to really go into that now. There's a lot to talk about. He put a lot of efforts into Yitzhak. He put a lot of efforts. He tried very hard with Yitzhak. Yitzhak put a lot into Esav. He put a lot of koiches into Esav, and Hashem said, "With all your koiches, it's not going to work." But the evil that Esav does is not accrued to Yitzhak at all. I mean, it could happen. Hashem gives you. Remember, we learned with the Tanya on Friday that Hashem puts into the biggest souls, He can still put the biggest yetzaharas. And that's what Hashem gave Esav. And Yitzchak understood this. He knew this well, and he went out of his way. He put everything he could into this kid, right? And he understood how much he had to put into it. And at the end of the day, Hashem said, whatever you put into him, it's still not going to help. Because he will ultimately make the... Obviously, Yitzchak felt terrible pain in seeing that Esav didn't succeed. There's no question about it. But the guilt was not accrued to Yitzchak. The guilt was not accrued to Yitzchak. And he got a lot of comfort in Yaakov. Got a lot of comfort in Yaakov. Right? Well, that's a side point. But clearly, that's what the Navi is saying over here. Okay, Tezayin. Gamato hisyatzvu. Let me go back to the Malmum now. So now you as well, hisyatzvu, stand up, uru'u, and see us at Davar Gadol Hazeh, this great thing, asher Hashem osel lechem. I'm going to do a great thing right now to let you know how great Hashem is, and how much He still runs the world over here. I'll see little signs, a little taste for what Hashem is doing. We'll see exactly what's the symbolism of this taste that Hashem gives them. But it's another criticism. Yud Zayin. Halok Sirchiti Mayom. It's the harvest season now. Must be sometime around May, June, before Shavuos. Now, what's the last thing a farmer wants to have happen in the harvest season? The worst thing that can happen is what?
Rain.
Right? If it rains in May, June, in Eretz Yisrael, that's bad news. If it would happen, it would really be bad news. So it's now Ekra Hashem. I'm going to call it Hashem. V'yitein kolos amotar. He's going to bring lightning, thunder, and He's going to bring rain. Uduin shenor ru'u, and to see. Ki ra'ascham rabba sher sisam in Hashem. What you've done is very bad in the eyes of Hashem. V'sholach ha'melech, to ask for a king. Still not giving up on this. It's like he's beating a dead horse. But he's mamish. He's taking the opportunity, because now that Shaul was successful in battle, they're going to say, now we have a king for what we should have. He's a leader. He kills the enemies. That's what we want. And then we won't, remember, he knew. He said, we want him, and we don't want to have to come to God and ask God to do tshuva. We don't want to come crawling to God like beggars. Ooh, we're sorry. No, I want to build up a strong army and have a good king, and we don't have to talk to Hashem anymore. He knew what was behind their happiness. So he's letting them have it. And he says, and there's two things I want you to see over here. That first of all, you should know that still now you are under God's miraculous hashkacha, His divine presence that is clinging to you. Still now, He's very close to you guys. And therefore you should not have asked for a king to help you in natural ways, after you are still under God's hashkacha. Right? That's the first criticism. Because what he wants to say, he says, really a Jewish king should mean that you still want to be subservient to God. But you really want to be subservient to nature and not to Hashem's hashkacha pratis. Really mean to say the Jews did not want miracles anymore. They want a regular king who's going to do things in a regular way. And as long as we want to control our destiny, and we will control him by the kind of king that we will have, and we will tell the king what to do, and this and that, and all those things. And Hashem's saying, no. Number one, you're going to see how close I am with you. And to know that what you did is a terrible thing. It's against Hashem. You don't want Hashem's hashkacha. Number one. That's the first point he says. And then after this great, miraculous thing that's going to happen, so it's going to come out that my prayers are going to help you. And you're going to see that it was my prayers that could always help you as well. And you see how powerful my prayers are. And me as a leader and my praying to Hashem, that's all you really needed. Okay? And that's what he's saying. I will pray to Hashem and will bring rain and all these things that, you know, I was still the leader for you. Because all you needed was me to daven to Hashem and Hashem would take care of you. And that meant you're really tight with me and Hashem. And that's the way it was till this minute still. Don't think for a second I've lost any of my luster or Hashem's lost any of his luster. And you better be careful to think what you want for the future for yourselves. And then finally, the sign itself is a beautiful sign, the Malbim says. Now, in general, do we ask for rain? I don't know how it's doing now in Eretz Yisrael, right? If it's still raining, but oh boy, rain, if you say in Israel, rain, a blessing. Certainly it's a blessing, but everything is a blessing at its time. Right? That means a blessing at its time. I was around, you asking for a king while I was alive is like asking for rain in June in Eretz Yisrael. You know, what do you mean? Tarsus is supposed to have a king. You know, everyone came with all the biblical proofs. Tarsus is supposed to have a king. Says, stop hiding behind a scripture. It's what's going on in your heart. There's a time and place for everything. So the fact you asked for a king not in the right time, right? Yeah, if after I died, and then, you know, you saw that God was putting you into the hands of nature, and if you saw Hashem wasn't so connected with you, then if you would ask for a king, that would be one thing. But the fact you're asking for a king now, that only shows that really, it's just like rain. So again, he's kind of showing them, yes, you know, essentially there was something good about what you were asking, but if it's at the wrong time, it's certainly not an appropriate thing at all. So, and Malbim gets this really from the Gemara in Tainus. The Gemara in Tainus says, it says, Yotza Nisim, once Nisan's passed, the Yordu Kshamim and rain comes, Simon Klala. It's a curse. Gemara says, how do they know that? From the story with Shmuel. It says, now it's going to rain. Sometime after Nisan, it's a curse. So, to say how bad you did over there. So the Musar Davim adds a very nice point over, and we'll end with this. He says, possibly we can say like this. What he's trying to show with the sign is, he says, Mishum daharbi yigiyas leishla oved admaso. There's a lot of work a farmer does. Achuzok aliras kikfar yigiyas manakitzer. Till you finally come to the harvest. In other words, from September, whatever. You know, the plowing and the seeding and all the work. Tremendous amount of work. Till you finally come to the harvest. It's mamish. Avol ma godol hu achar kach tzara. How great the pain will be afterward. Shachrei kola yigishalo. After all the effort he makes, he spends so much time. And now we're at the last stage. The mamish, the last stage of the harvesting. Then would come a rain to spoil all the grain that you have. In other words, it's one thing if it doesn't rain at all. Well, I didn't do much work yet. I mean, it's bad. No question about it. But it's not after all the effort I made. But here you've done everything. Gone from A to Z. And you've done everything you can do. And it's mamash, it's just another couple weeks. And we've got it all in the silos and everything's great. And the disappointment is 10 times greater when it rains at that time. And that's what Shmuel Navi was saying. He says, Harba yigiyas yogakarish barachim. Hashem did a lot of work with you guys. He, mamash, had to put lots of effort to you guys until he took you out of Mitzrayim, until he brought you to Eretz Canaan. He made all this effort. And now the time has come where maybe Hashem can see some beautiful fruits. Finally can have some harvest where the Yidden are acting the way they're supposed to. And now you mess it all up and you're going to be like all the goyim. That's going to be a tremendous pain for Hashem when he sees this happening. So Hashem wants you to get a little feeling of what he's feeling like. And you can imagine, I mean, you have to always put yourself in this situation. The crop coming in is life and death. Yeah, you know, it's not like, you know, we'll go to another country and get food. Russia doesn't have wheat. They go to the United States, they sell them some wheat. If it rains in the whole country, they're dead. Do you understand? They did all this effort, and they're dead. And Hashem's saying, see what a little bit of rain at the wrong time will do? See how much effort is destroyed if something comes at the wrong time? See how bad you're feeling, right? Now, obviously, he didn't keep the rain very long. This was to make them, you see what's the rain? It only has to, you know, one day of rain, that's it. You've lost it. All the effort you made. So what about all the effort Hashem has made to bring you into Eretz Yisrael to be the type of Jews you're supposed to be? All that can get lost in one shot. And that's really what the Navi is telling them. So he's warning them, and we'll see tomorrow he continues this warning to keep them, try to keep them on the straight and narrow path. Okay, Talson's full is not till what time? I think 49. Okay. Shkoyach.